You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, just trying to stay cool. You know,
Netflix J, as they say.
No, they are not saying that.
I'm saying, let's start a little hashtag, you know what I'm talking about. My man Longevity's in the building.
Yeah, what's up, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Another day, another week. Yeah, I'm fine, man.
thanks, man. That's all I was looking for, buddy. My man DJ J did. What's happening, man?
Salutations. That was low-key irritated, like, leave me alone.
Kinda, I know, man. He got a little frustrated. Yeah, everything man. Good your way, my brother?
Yeah, man.
Let's talk Mick Jenkins, man. Mick Jenkins, a very interesting statement I actually agree with, but I'll
read it. He just dropped the album last week, too.
Very talented, by the way. Dude is dope.
I'm a fan,
yeah. Shout out to my man, Pete Sake. He told me about, he's actually put me on to Mick Jenkins, him and Long. Dude is nice.
He was the original first headliner for Treese.
Sure was, wasn't he?
Yep.
Good call.
First year.
So he had a conversation with the Fader, and it was speaking about underground hip hop being cut out from conversations in this hip hop's 50th anniversary. I'm going to read a part of his interview, and then we can kind of jump into it. It says, we're celebrating 50 years of hip hop, and a lot of artists like myself who've been in this joint for 10, 15 years, underground the whole time, don't get to be a part of the celebration. But artists who have been here for 6 months get on to be on stage and be on award shows. He said, we're celebrating 50 years of hip hop, not 50 years of rap, not 50 years of top 40, 50 years of hip hop. How is underground excluded from that? It's half of it. I think he has a fair point.
The thing about it is, too, though, he mentions those artists that people have only heard about for 6 months.
Yep.
They still haven't heard about Mick Jenkins. He's been out for 10, 15 years.
Tough.
And being a part of that underground crowd, it's like a gift and a curse because it hinders you in a sense that you're not getting those mainstream ears on you versus the people that's making music for the radio do. So it's kind of it's bittersweet, but definitely has a point because somebody that's only been in the game for 6 months and really may have started rapping a year or two ago.
Right.
I would feel a certain type of way too.
And we're old enough to have favorites on the underground as you always listen to the top 40 and listen to whatever.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm talking about I used to listen to the radio. I haven't in years, but I used to listen to the radio.
I haven't since 1996.
Dang. I believe you actually.
It's actually true.
I think I stopped around 2000-ish, but either way.
I still listen to the radio because I like to see what they're doing wrong, essentially.
But the underground is a huge part of, my love for hip hop. Like, it's never been just about one, the top, whatever, or the Billboard. Like, there's so much heat that I've heard on the underground. So I think he's 100% right. And he's one of the people that stand out to me. Even just from Chicago. I know so many people on the underground that have had long careers, successful careers on the underground. But yeah, I like it. What do you think, Long, in terms of what he said?
I mean, it's one of those things where you can look at this multiple ways. I would definitely say that I agree with him, but I would also say that this has always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's part of the thing about being underground. Not that he wants to necessarily be underground. He just, I don't think that it's a thing as an artist where you just want to be underground. A lot of heads will say yeah, you make underground music. No, you're underground because you stick to the stuff that you do and you don't compromise your principles and right. What you want to do. If that catches on and becomes popular, then it catches on and becomes popular. Then you're not underground. But I don't think anybody if you as an artist go out and you try to be underground, right. It's the same as trying to be cool.
That's kind of corny.
That's corny.
You know what I mean? So
that's corny.
It's I don't look at it in that fashion. So I think what Mick is essentially saying is it would be nice to for some of these bigger shows, I guess is what he's kind of alluding to right. have looked maybe a little bit deeper than what they have. But at the same time, it's it's not like these particular events are the end all be all. So mm-hmm. there could be other events that could be thrown that maybe highlight that. You know what I mean? But I get a sentiment and I can agree with it.
What do you think about the piece where he talks about being here for 6 months or so and they get a chance to be, a part of, said celebration?
Who's he talking about?
I don't think any names were dropped.
The only person I could think of is when they did the thing on the Grammys and you look up and Glorilla.
Oh, okay.
Is on there with all these legends. Now, they were trying to include everybody from every era.
Right. Uzi Vert got up there and did his little shimmy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, and it's weird. I saw that Questlove talked about, you know, putting that together, and like last minute, something like a couple hours just dropped out.
Mm. Oh, wow. You know, I didn't know that part.
So, yeah, I didn't know that part either. In fact, that was that interview on The Breakfast Club with him and LL, which was in Black Thought, which is really dope. I see where he's coming from to a certain extent, but also, you know, I'm old enough to remember when basically every rap record was underground. There was no such thing as mainstream because there was no video outlet. There was no such thing as a hip hop radio station in every city. You know, and people forget there are still places in this country that still don't have hip hop radio stations.
Yeah.
You know, they might have tried it and it just didn't work, or they just said, OK, we're not going to do this anymore. So you have to understand that, like that. I always think the line of demarcation of when all of a sudden we said, OK, what's the underground and what's mainstream is the day Stakes Is High and It Was Written came out. That day in 96 is where there was a real split, you know, because before then, like everybody was kind of in this together. Now, you had your exceptions where you might have had a Hammer or that was just, you know, out of here.
Snoop.
Even with Snoop, I wouldn't even say, because once again, we loved it. And if you were into hip hop, it seemed like he was everywhere. But, you know, I remember the radio station in St. Louis is like, you know, they try to take a hard line stance and be like, we're not going to play anything off of any Snoop Doggy Dog records because of the, you know, the violence associated with, you know, whatever. You know, it, once again, people who are culturally have cultural blind spots. It's not just, you know, white people we always think of. It's a lot of these black program directors as well who were in on this foolishness. But who, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, well, I see De La Soul on all these things. You know, I mean, to some people, De La Soul or, you know, that's or Alex, who's been a part of a few of these celebrations. Now, if you're mad that Jedi Mind Tricks isn't there or you know, Necro,
I think there are levels to the underground, though.
There are people who probably, if you asked them, they wouldn't get involved.
Even with De La, I don't necessarily see them that way. I could see how someone could who's not, I guess, that versed in hip hop or hasn't followed it. But I think there's so many levels that you can go deeper and like some names. You can really pull out some names that are underground artists that, you know, may not have been, you know, mentioned.
Yeah, more like so like him, like in Odyssey.
Right.
Like even when you talk about the Hieroglyphics, mm-hmm. I would still consider them an underground rap group who's been around for a long time.
Like Little Brother.
Yeah. Little Brother. There's like a good brother. One. Yeah. Sky Zoo.
Exactly. I could see where you're like, okay, why aren't these people included? But it's just like, they haven't made music even for the mainstream hip hop crowd.
Right, right.
You know, we all love it, but that's, we eat and sleep this
at
stuff.
The end of the
you
day
know,
there's
different there's not there's a lot of us but not as many as the people who are excited when they see LL, De La Soul, yeah. Public Enemy and Ice-T stand up there on a stage or even when, you know, Nas brings Lauryn Hill out. You know, it's not like we can really complain about any of those people who are getting
no
that
I'm
shine.
Not complaining.
Nah, you actually have a few different types of hip-hop fans though.
True.
So you have people that only pay attention to the mainstream hip-hop. If you were to ask them who Jay Dilla was, they wouldn't be able to tell you.
Right.
Right.
But they can tell you everything about whoever's been the most popular artist for the past 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And then you have people like us that are kind of well-versed across the board. I know a little bit of this. I know a little bit of that. You know what I'm saying? It's a balance. So all hip-hop artists aren't created equal.
Right.
Everybody doesn't listen to the same thing. It's not like somebody gave you a book and was like, here are all the artists you're supposed to listen to be a hip-hop fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's too many artists to do that. So a lot of people can get grouped in that underground category based on how many years have been on them, I guess.
You know, and it's also we think about what commercial success is, and then we think, you know, of that as being commercial music.
Like, even that's right. Changed, though.
When they were selling all those records, that was not, you know, they had commercial success, but they weren't commercial.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think DMX ever really was a commercial. I mean,
he dabbled. He had some records that dabbled
he had
into
the joints with the little R&B hooks or whatever.
He had a couple joints now.
But, you know.
Then he had a song with, what's the rock and roll dude?
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, but at that time, hip hop had converted into pop, being pop culture and being the main front runner. So it didn't matter if, you know, that was right on the cusp when Wu-Tang became popular. It was like right around that time.
Yeah, Wu-Tang was on tour with Atari Teenage Riot.
Rage Against the Machine. So I mean, yeah.
Good call.
I mean, but you're right. It's not Katy Perry, you know.
And it's not where they're thinking, okay, we're going to get this and we're going to get cereal commercials and we're going to go ahead and put them here. Like, Wu-Tang got to commercial success being themselves.
You know what?
Whatever that means to, I mean, but I mean, of course, all Hammer success, I feel like that was him. It was just that it just went way further than even any people who were Hammer fans who love Let's Get It Started and all that. It went further out than even they thought it was going
to
go.
Yeah, that's true. A person that comes to mind for me is on the front, well, not on the fringe, but a very interesting case is Freddie Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs has been bubbling for a long time, got the Grammy nod. But would you consider him more mainstream, or is he still looked at as like upper echelon of underground?
That gray area before.
I think that's where he is.
I don't think you're mainstream unless you're getting radio play.
Okay, yeah. I see.
You know what I mean? Unless you're
playlists,
unless you cross over a little bit.
Unless you have like some sort of crossover, you're appealing to people that aren't hip hop.
Even like Griselda, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They could have easily been featured on any of these tributes or whatnot, but they haven't been.
True.
And I kind of think they're in that gray area, too, because a lot of people know them for who they are. But some people know them for being wrestling fans and showing up at WrestleMania and being on the front row and stuff like that. And having just outlandish clothes that cost a lot with wrestling themes to them. You know what I'm saying?
Wearing furry boots and Flatbush and hanging out.
It's like
chicken and fries, you know.
It's like Gibbs' Twitter feed. Like, that's a part of that goes into everything. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people know him for that, plus the records.
Well, that's what music is essentially turned into anymore. I mean, it's always kind of been like this, but it's definitely it's
you have to be a multimedia star.
Talent doesn't matter. It never has mattered, really. I mean, we can have that argument, we can have that conversation, but realistically, when it comes to like the super mainstream, talent has never been the most dominant force.
Like, there's a, because I'm a nerd like this, and, you know, I love looking at people's chart history, and, you know, because sometimes it can make a good argument or a bad argument for actually how popular someone is. Like, there was a time, like, remember how big, like, New Kids on the Block were?
Yes.
But you got to understand, like, they had a song that was a hit in, like, 1990 and didn't have another song hit for, like, 25 years. That their run of actually having a chart history ended with Step by Step until like they all broke up, retired, and then somebody gave them some money to come out of retirement. And that's why, you know, but their popularity was through the roof. They were a commercial success, despite the fact that none of their songs were hits, even, and they put out two more albums and nobody cared. But they were still able to sell out these stadiums. Sometimes with hip hop, you know, I would love to see Little Brother on one of these stages, but then again, has Little Brother ever been on a stage that big?
But maybe that's the argument. You know, like if hip hop doesn't put hip hop on that stage when hip hop is in that limelight, who is going to do it?
This is true.
You know, like I think there's an argument for that. And was Mick talking more so about, was it general, or was he talking about like older hip hop acts that were underground, or was he talking about newer? Or does it like?
I want to say from 96 on. Like that, I want to. Because
I was thinking that. Because I was thinking that it was from his era. You know
I think he's leaning more towards his. Because he mentioned himself. I've been in 10 to 15.
He's thinking like with the Sky Zoos and
that crop of people. Blog era.
Like you know, it's like, hey, why didn't
everybody that's been doing stuff in hip hop since 96 that isn't popular,
right?
And consistently been putting out records.
You know, like, somebody could have brought the Cool Kids out. Somebody could have brought.
There's
out,
another one.
You know, Tanya Morgan. You know what I'm saying? There are people that I would love to see, but you know, I don't, it's just like
who are we doing
hip,
this for?
You know, if you're just that hip hop nerd, I don't know. Sometimes you just wonder what the impact is beyond your bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people we talk about, and we're extremely passionate. Like we have episodes, we talk all of, we can't stop talking about Fonte. And you know, I wonder, like, there are people who probably listen to us. It's like, I don't know what these guys are talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they love hip hop.
True.
Drake is their favorite artist.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and Fonte was on Drake's first album. Mm-hmm. Well, Little Brother as a whole was on Drake's first album.
So. And we know how that ended up.
Yeah. I mean, and Drake is on stadium tours right now.
Yep. And scamming weird blog people, apparently.
He's scamming?
Whoever that Bobby woman is who does those weird interviews.
I heard he might have got a little bit and
I heard that he intentionally played one of his songs on her podcast. And then called the record label to say, hey.
Oh, wow.
And what? Claimed his something that he owned. Yeah, that's the going rumor. Not that I care about this. I've seen a bazillion videos try to start, and I've made it about 10 seconds on each one.
Yeah. Yo, that's foul if that's...
You ever like click on a video, like all of a sudden you were interested, and then you get about a minute in, and it was like, yeah, you know, like, I don't care.
Like the guy that was talking about the proclamation. I could barely stomach it. I was like, I'm cool on this.
Yeah.
Kind of scanned in and was like, I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, proclamation.
Yeah. Don't have time, energy, man, or patience.
Control.
The older I get, the less patience I have. I'm starting to really understand old people now.
I am too, man. Let's jump into this next topic. Jay Moore's favorite rapper made a very big tweet. Shout out to the OG Ice-T. He says, from what I've noticed, classic hip hop is selling out arenas worldwide. Nas, Wu-Tang, 50 Cent, LL, Snoop, Ice Cube. Our fans are showing up and having a blast. It's a great feeling. Respect to the OGs. We're not done. There have been a lot of cancellations tour dates being moved or changed or dropped by a lot of these younger artists. I'm actually not mad at Ice-T pointing this out, but I'm a little surprised because I would think outside of, you know, LL putting up a Rock the Bells and making a, you know, around the 50th, I would be a little bit surprised that a lot of these artists are still out here getting it. But am I tripping when I say that? Because the longevity and the length of their careers must be paying off because people still rocking.
I'm not surprised at all.
You're not?
First of all, once again, if you can stay alive and stay out of jail long enough to hit the nostalgia wave, you know, there are people who are always going to want to come see you to give them that feeling that they had when they first heard your music. Like, I saw, like, you know who's out here on tour right now? Like, Souls of Mischief for 93 and 2 Infinity.
Ah.
That, you know, kind of, well, that kind of is a callback to when we talk about maybe underground hip hop.
Yeah.
Where he's being acknowledged. Like, they didn't wait on anybody to, you know, put them on a package tour. There's like, let's go out here and perform, you know, our, you know, 30 years we got in this game.
Right.
You know, for whatever you think about Souls of Mischief. Like, you may not remember that as a classic album, but that was a classic song and people still know it today.
Yep. Classic group.
Yeah. So I'm not spending my money to see much of anybody new, but I'm also of that age group that wouldn't spend that money to see anybody new, you know? And so, but the thing is, people our age, you know, people in their 40s, maybe knocking on 50, you know, grew up with hip hop.
Right.
We're also in a position where we got the money to go to these shows. You know, Lil Baby's
fans. That's a good point.
And I'm not just picking on Lil Baby just because, you know, I have seen, that's one of the people that's got caught up in having to cancel a bunch of shows.
I think Da Baby too.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know, if they're not red hot right now, people will be like, eh, I'll see him another time. Plus, there's been a lot of people sucking up concert money, you know, between Beyonce, Drake, you know.
People are going to see
Taylor
Beyonce
Swift
multiple times.
Yeah.
I know a few people who have traveled to see her show three times.
I know
really?
People like,
yes.
I know people like my sister who aren't, you know, she doesn't go to a bunch of concerts.
I didn't know that.
Oh, but she, you know, her, my cousin made sure to, you know, to see, you know, Beyonce and Mercedes Benz. You know, I know people I've never really seen get excited about anything like that, make sure they go to Beyonce. But of course they got, you know, they've worked hard. They got the cash to go. Now, my problem is a few people, you brokies out here who are missing out on payments so you can go see Beyonce. It's never been that serious.
That's different.
I think it also has a lot to do with showmanship as well, though.
Yes.
Because a lot of these new artists, they don't have a stage show.
No.
They walk out, they rap their songs, and that's that.
They lip sync their songs.
You know what I'm saying? So you have these older artists that came from a time where production, your show production mattered.
Yep.
Because that might have been the only money you got.
Yeah, they're gonna go on tour and they're gonna put on a show. Whereas these younger artists aren't going to do that and people aren't that interested in seeing them. So they'll just wait till like a festival where they can just pay one fee to see all of them on the same stage. And then call it a day versus them going on these stadium tours and not really giving you a show.
I saw clips of 50 show. And to your point, Gary, it's a show. The setup.
And 50 ain't, he's not really doing a whole lot, but he has the money to pay for a show. So if you go, you're having an experience. I remember when I went to see, I think Lone was there too, Childish Gambino, the camp tour.
Yeah.
So he was getting TV money then.
Right.
This show was at Old National Center, and it was a show. Like the stage was set up. It looked nice. It felt like you were at a concert.
Right.
Versus a lot of people just throw the DJ in the back and they walk out on stage
with 60 people.
and they talk about all this money they got, but your show doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, when we saw Crit, same thing. Show was fire. You know, the experience, it's an experience. So maybe the older artists are just staying true to the experience and what they learned from back in the day when the show was more important.
Or just make do with what you have. Like, right. Even Currency, he put on the show. His stage was set up like a bare room, like he was in there smoking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He thought about what I want this to look like visually when I come out on stage. I want people to feel like they're not sitting in an audience. I want them to feel like they're in a room with me.
Do you think canceled shows, or, you know, a couple of shows being trimmed off some of these newer artists, do you think that not scares them into, but makes them think about their show moving forward, no, making adjustments?
Nope.
Does anybody even care?
No, they have yes men handlers around them who'll say it's everything else but something that you're doing wrong. Like, yeah. maybe we need to polish this up, or maybe we need to put out better records, or, you know, we need to just do better. It's always some market condition that they're probably told is the reason why they had to cancel a show in this particular city or cancel a show in this particular city. It's different. There's a lot of ego stroking that goes on with people right now, because it's like, hey, if we catch fire again,
right,
you know,
it won't matter.
It won't matter. We'll be right back on where we need to be. And I'm not trying to stop my check with this particular artist because I need to be honest with them and tell them they need to get it together.
Makes sense to me. Hey, I would love to catch one of these old school shows, but I don't know what they're hitting for, and I don't even know.
Well, I mean,
I probably missed a wave coming through the Midwest.
To be fair, like, the LL Cool J's The Force Tour was supposed to come here, and that date was canceled.
Yes.
A lot of them were canceled. And then I also heard, too, that they were getting the show to a place that they wanted to present it as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
okay.
it wasn't up to par as far as what they wanted it to be. So they kind of canceled a bunch of shows, regrouped, and then put it back out there, but then eliminated a bunch of dates as well.
You know,
unfortunately, we got put on the cutting block for that.
Yeah, because the thing is, I want to say they're in Memphis, or there's one southern market where, like, depending on where you go, which version of the Force City you see, they're going to have different artists.
Different artists, yeah.
You know,
it's based off regions?
Like, it's not really based off regions, but they have the core people that tour with them,
right?
And then they have a handful of
Trip.
Yeah, they have a handful of other artists that may join them in other states.
I see.
So I think they had it in Vegas. It'll be like this coming week or something like that. And mm-hmm. I think Rakim is supposed to be
the
Philly in there or something like that.
Yeah, and Salt and Pepper, you know, depending on which show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, I like that idea. And then it could be something that happens every year, every couple of years, to where, let's get back on tour. But also, like, right now, all these rappers who have TV shows, they ain't got nothing to do, so they better get after it.
Nah, for real.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to get resolved by now, but they're more than 90 days in, which means a lot of your favorite shows are not coming back.
Yep.
Dang, man, you just put a damper on my mood, man, because there's a couple things I'm waiting on. And
next summer's movie season is going to look real raggedy.
Trash, huh?
Video games. Better buy yourself a PlayStation,
yeah, exactly,
or an Xbox, because
or start catching up on stuff you didn't watch when it was out.
Yeah, because you can watch The Wire next year. That'd be something you could do.
Yeah, you got time.
Come on, Randy.
Now he's more like a Dookie.
I can't say anything because I don't.
Yeah, you don't
I feel
no
bad.
Idea who these people are.
I hate this because I don't know who y'all talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
is that a fair assessment, Long?
I think it's more Randy. Actually,
you think so?
I think more Randy than Dookie.
I just want.
There's something wrong with either one of these characters. I don't know what it is yet.
I just want him to be Dookie.
I don't think your name.
But he probably is more of a Randy.
Well, I see these people in episode
Mike is
one.
Bubs.
Yeah, you are absolutely. Now I'm thinking about Randy's character.
Smooth,
yeah.
Hoosier, come on now.
Yes, you are.
Oh,
Randy.
Smooth.
He is Randy. Ain't
yeah, he's absolutely
smooth,
Randy.
Smooth Hoosier being disrespectful. I can't come back at him because I don't know what y'all talking about.
He's not Dookie or Bubbles. Nah, he's not neither of them.
Well, I got to be somebody named Bubbles, man. That sounds like something long.
Well, you know, hey. I mean, you'd know why if you'd seen the show.
Yeah. He's one of the best characters.
He is, but you are definitely Randy.
I got to remember this. So when will this person reveal themselves up
It'll
front?
Be far.
Watch the show.
Oh, I got to really make it to there to
and
see.
And then you'll be like, this is why they're calling me Randy.
Oh, God. Yeah. And that gives me incentive to watch it, Sean.
Randy's got his own podcast. He goes by Maestro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think I have seen that dude.
Yeah. Oh, the actor that you're talking about?
Yeah. He actually tries to make beats, too.
Oh, where?
He said tries to.
I mean, they're all right.
Like, oh, that's
keep trying, brother.
That's shit.
All right.
So, yeah, just keep trying.
Let's
they're not horrible, but they're not horrible. But
well, if Lone says they're not horrible, I'm gonna take your word for it.
Being they in, sound like some of my students that have maybe been making beats for maybe about a year or so.
Okay.
Oh, that ain't bad. Maybe, like you say, he's just getting into it. Yeah, so maybe. Getting his feet wet. It's a learning curve with that. A lot of people think you can just start.
Like his poot.
Oh, my God. Who is that? Who is that? Who said, oh, Nate? Oh, God. I got to remember these names so when I see them, then I'll know.
Shouts to poot.
Oh, my God, man. I don't like how Terry laughing. So it's got, there's something wrong with all the people that y'all are naming. Well,
at least you're not snot boogie.
Jay Moore, what's up, man? Is this how this episode goes? Y'all don't even care no more now. Just watch the show, right?
Please. This is like being on a hip hop show and not knowing hip hop almost.
So see, I feel stupid because now I'm gonna have to watch this show and then go back through Sky Zoo's.
You've been saying that. I'm gonna have to do that now.
Whatever you do to spend your time, that like an extra free hour to watch something every just
binge watch them and knock them out, right?
Here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna watch one episode. You're gonna be like, all right. Uh-huh. And then you're gonna watch another one. You're gonna be like, okay. And then it's just going to keep going like that for five seasons.
A good show.
Look, there's a show that came on. Unfortunately, it was canceled, called Flatbush Misdemeanors on Showtime. It was really good.
Never seen it.
But one of the characters on there, like, because I don't know people's names, I'll be like, oh, snap, that's Weebe.
Exactly. Yeah. Weebe.
I mean, like, Weebe from The Wire got a whole new show. This is dope. And I'll watch certain shows because I recognize people
and
from
Cheese
The Wire.
Cheese is a really good rapper.
Oh, word?
Yeah, Cheese is really good.
He is, man. You might even know who he is.
Maybe.
Maybe. I might.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got a recurring role.
Man. I'm going to look out for Randy and I'll report back.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, let's talk Lone's favorite person, Ebro.
Is he my favorite person?
Because you never say his name right.
I don't even hate Ebro. I actually agree with him most of the time, actually.
Yeah. He actually, well, let's see what he says on this one. So there's an article floating around from Complex with a tweet that he, well, a part of an interview where he says, I got a call saying that it should be noted many major record labels have deprioritized signing rappers. The focus is now African music and Latin music.
Oh, Afrobeat, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So rappers better stop being boring and talking about the same ish over and over, chasing TikTok success and comment sections.
It kind of goes with the whole performance piece we just talked about.
It exactly goes with that. But especially you two, are you starting to see this trend, like from a DJ, MC, host, you got your own spot standpoint, or is everything still in the pocket from what you know? Even just friends, like DJs that you know, has anybody mentioned anything like this in terms of a trend?
Not necessarily mentioned, but I mean, we've noticed that Afrobeats have been more accepting and more popular for probably the past 4 years,
it's
I would say.
It's been a minute.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Got you.
At least 4 years.
So it sounds like it might be coming to a boiling point based off.
Look, everybody's going, instead of looking for the next little baby, they're looking for the next burner boy because they see those international numbers mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, this, you know, with the Bad Bunnies too, like, right. You know. Mm-hmm. This dude does so much ridiculous business. Even if you are like a knockoff Bad Bunny, you probably gonna do some real numbers.
Probably so.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the record industry. You always chase trends.
Exactly.
Always chase trends. You know, and whatever's pop. Like people are not the people who sit in the offices have no creativity. So they just try to if something is hot, let's do that again.
And then not to mention
until we burn it out.
These rappers, well, not they're not the only one, but a lot of rappers have figured out. To use the TikToks and the Instagrams and all that stuff to their benefit by getting popular on there. And then they don't need a record label. Whereas these international artists, they need distribution. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it makes more sense for them to try to go after them because they're trending upward and they need the distribution. Mm. And they need more eyes and ears on them. So it makes more sense for them to sign a record deal versus a lot of the people that are getting famous off TikTok, Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, because like if you out here just young liquor store robber, like if you can just create a little viral moment.
Yeah.
if you have any, if you, you might be able to find somebody be like, okay, we can do this, 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 and this. Now, it may not get out of your region, but you'll mess around and be famous in your region. That's exactly all a lot of these kids want.
That's it.
You know, but if you
chasing look, the bag.
If, like I said, if you're trying to be like that Afrobeats artist, because it's just going to, there's going to be somebody who's not from Africa. Like, I'm going to get on this Afro. Yep. I'm going to make my mark in the Afrobeats marketplace. That person is going to be more susceptible to wanting to be, like you said, in the major label system, you know? And so they need these kind of artists for sustainability.
Yep.
Okay. Cause you just cannot, like, they are, nobody gets excited about having a bunch of independent artists making all this noise. You know, we need to, and we need to not only prioritize hip hop that can be done on a regional level and can actually create artists that are creating wealth for themselves outside of the major label system. We need, you know, that's why I thought, you know, at one point they were going to start looking into groups and things like that, because it's like, you can't maintain a group on an independent level.
Right.
You know, groups need to be in a major label system for, you know, tour support, for actually, you know, somebody hire a choreographer, somebody to get in there and do that vocal.
The whole production aspect,
you know, as opposed to, like you said, the kids that can just get out there with a microphone and play the glass break sound so they don't have to go rhyme a whole song.
Yeah.
But these, if you're an Afrobeats artist and Sony UK needs to have a part in this. Okay. Sony Asia needs to have a part of, you know.
Hell, Burna Boy's single out now has Selena Gomez on it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his track list.
And then you had
J. Cole, 21 Savage. Those are, I didn't even realize that, but I just Googled it when you said that.
And Cole, you had the Tim song, which featured Justin Bieber. And it wasn't even Tim's song. That was, she was actually featured on there. Man. But it was an Afrobeat artist.
Yeah. But you know what I really love about Afrobeats right now? This is what I appreciate more than anything. It gives a break to DJs when they get tired of playing the gunshots and the ass shots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's you know, when you're tired of hearing about girls singing about their buttholes, you can put on, you know, the you can put on the Afro beats and people will vibe to
vibe.
And it really does change. Another kind of energy can come into the club. Yeah. And I appreciate that more than anything.
Have you seen that work?
Yeah, it works all the time.
It works all the time. Because, like, there's sometimes where I'm like, all right, we got to change the vibration in here. And, you know, luckily I have enough respect with the DJs I work with. And I say, okay, let's take it out of the trap right now. And let's go ahead and give them some island flavor or something from Africa.
Yeah.
And it makes things it much works more pleasant.
Everybody, the frequency. Yeah. Even, you know what I'm saying?
Like I said, we've talked about how there's a lot of low vibrational music
that it livens the party up. It makes you more, you know what I'm saying, inviting. You know what I'm saying? You don't have your guard up as much when you listen to other things. But now I think it's a vibe in itself, and it absolutely makes more sense that these record labels are going after them, because, I mean, that's probably going to be their bread and butter from now until whenever, as far as signing an artist.
Jump in, Long.
It doesn't even have to be strictly Afrobeats, though, either. I mean, when we talk about reggaeton is really huge as well.
True. But that's the Latin flavor, too.
That's what I mean. That's really big.
Bad Bunny, I think, is the biggest artist right now.
As far as, like, ticket sales, yes. Nobody, like, but Beyonce, Taylor Swift, all that, it's Bad Bunny.
But at the same time, like, I would not really make the argument that the reggaeton music in general is that much better content-wise than a lot of this hip-hop that's coming out right now.
Oh, Noriega did a reggaeton album.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you're saying from a content standpoint, much better?
Yeah, I mean, my wife is a Latin person, you know?
Right.
She can't stand it. You know, in the same way that a lot of people would say, you know, I don't like rap music. She's just like, I can't stand reggaeton.
But see, I don't really mess with reggaeton, but I love Afrobeat.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, because when I go, I they have a Latin night that I go to every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my man, DJ Rican. And there are parts where I'm like, oh, this is it. But there are parts where like, no, I don't know this.
Yeah.
You know, but also, you know, I realize they can't play Suavemente once an hour just because I'm there.
It works every time.
I tell you what, you put that Suavemente on, it's going to be a party.
Yeah.
If we're talking specifically about, I've been staring at Ebro's tweet here. Mm-hmm. And he said, rappers better stop being boring and talking about the same things over and over, chasing TikTok success in comment sections, it seems kind of what he's kind of alluding to essentially is that, you know, I think it's just the lack of effort that we're seeing in general. This kind of goes back to our other two previous conversations a little bit. I didn't chime too much in on the last one, but the one thing that is very noticeable is just the lack of respect for the performance aspect that a lot of younger artists have that are popular. That the OGs, in a sense, don't lack that respect because that's part of the culture in that aspect. But you see that, I don't know how else to put it. Maybe lack of respect is the wrong way to put it, but it seems just like they don't respect the fact that it is something that's important that they need to do,
it's,
I guess.
That's lackadaisical. It's almost like that's not important. They see if I put out a song and my song makes it, then I get to tour and I really don't have to worry about putting together a show. Like right. We were talking about, it's but, more so just I'm going to perform my song and that's it.
Exactly. And so to my, I guess the point that kind of piggybacking off that I'm kind of getting to is just the general lack of respect for the culture around making music that is good as opposed to something that hits, something that's popular, something that works for the comment section, something that works because of people's attention spans, that we have an entire generation of artists that I don't want to be the old person in the room and say that these people aren't artists.
Right.
But they're eliminating being an entertainer.
Well,
I'd give them artist.
I would too, because I don't think a lot of these people really take the craft that they're doing very seriously. When you're emulating something else, when you're just trying to emulate something, I don't know, don't get me wrong, it's all subjective, but like emulation is something, in my opinion, as somebody that teaches this stuff, is good for learning. But after that, you're not really an artist after you're out of that stage if you're just emulating a whole bunch of other stuff.
Find your lane.
And this isn't something that's new. I'm just saying that like a lot of things are compounding on top of each other when it comes to a lot of newer artists in hip hop, to where it's very low effort. It's very low vibrations, and the very sheer foundation of it all seems to be more so based upon what is going to work to be popular, as opposed to this is good work that I can use that will then build up the next good thing and people are going to enjoy me for what I'm bringing to the table, as opposed to just because I'm cool
in years to come versus just for now.
Yeah,
it's with what you talk about, the we'll just call it mimicking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, see, it's going to work. I see everybody else doing it, so I'm just going to do that. I think that is the mindset now in this era. It's not about let's sit down and try to make the dopest possible record that we can. It's let's sit down to make something that will work here, here, and here so that we can get paid. Like, it cuts out all of the part. You alluded to talent earlier. We were talking about not being a part, talent not being involved or something in a conversation previous. But it's not. It's what can work. And like he said, what he listed, can we get something to pop off here, here, and here, and maybe get a dance to it? And everything else will take care of itself. You know, and I feel like that's the approach now because of social media and all the avenues people can put music out on. It's like, let's spread it out as much as possible. Whatever works is going to work. We'll get to the tour, like you talked about, get to go perform. We're going to get the bag.
No,
and that's it.
Not perform.
Oh, I'm not.
Dance on stage.
Dance on stage.
And do whatever.
And get to the bag.
I don't want to call these people performers, man, like anymore. Like, we need to bring back shame and we need to stop calling them performers.
I'll tell you, booing people off of stage is going to come back.
Look, man, if you can't get on stage,
I gotta bring it back by myself.
Nah, man, like, it's not it's not hard to have a DJ, have an instrumental, and to say and practice your words. And if you can't say all of your stuff, not the knees,
get a hype man.
Get somebody else. And if you can't get somebody that can do that stuff with you, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. I don't know. It's not that hard. It's not hard. I think that's the thing. It's just like it doesn't seem like it. And I think the thing that kind of bothers me about it is it's not even the fact that it is hard. It's just that it would make you so much better.
That part.
Like, that why part. why would you ignore this and just a functional part of like being better than somebody else?
It's like you want to be too cool. So you want to come into a show and do the exact same thing that the artist before you did.
Right.
Why not stand out?
That's my argument. Why not? Like, if you're going to do this as a profession and you know that the best that do this.
I think a lot of these younger.
But that goes back to they don't care. So
that's it.
You know, it's again back to my original point.
And I think they're wired that way too because of how some of the records are created. They didn't come up performing. I was sitting in my room and I recorded and something rang off and my life has changed. Like, they didn't come up.
Well, even if they didn't come up performing, because that's almost like
that's what
somebody that's naturally good at basketball, mm-hmm. who didn't play it in high school at all and went to college and then made it to the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're naturally good at it. These people, some of them may not have been performing their whole life, but if they really want it that bad and they want to stand out, then put in the work and do it. You know what I'm saying? Stand out.
Look, I'm just saying, young artists, do not watch Rolling Loud and think that's going to work for you. I mean, it's going to work for you, but don't aspire to that.
Nah.
When I see these rappers that they barely know every maybe 10th word of their songs.
Right. You have a ceiling if you do that.
Yeah.
And it's a
you know how many
visible,
artists are on visible. those festivals, though?
Yeah, right. but none of them are good performers. Nah. I sat and watched that Rolling Loud. I was like, oh, this person's trash.
Yeah.
This person's trash. As a performer, not as people. Maybe they sell records. But I'm just saying, I go off the performance aspect of hip-hop. And when I see you up there, you don't even care enough to hold the microphone to your face and fake it.
Nah, these Afrobeats artists are going to come through and perform. Yep.
Yes.
And make you have fun.
For now.
Yeah.
Because you know
I'm
what?
Not mad
as they commodify Afrobeats, they're going to be some people who start sneaking in the Afrobeats
store.
That's
true. That's true.
And they'll be like, it'll be like, well, you know, I just knew this was the vibe and I can't really sing. It's going to be some white Afrobeats artists. Mm.
I believe it.
It's going to be somebody coming from Denmark or something and wind up being the biggest Afrobeats artist in the world.
See,
I'm calling it now.
Snow.
It's not far-fetched, though, bro. And today, in this era, it's really not.
Yeah.
That I can see you know, that ringing off.
Because once they were like, okay, this is going to be the sound, and this is what we're going to move forward with, this is what we're going to... Then they're going to people who are going to change everything they have ever wanted to do. And it's like, I'm going to fit into this box, and I'm going to get this money one way or another.
Oh, go ahead, no, Lon, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, look at one of the comments that was used in this piece on Complex is from Yo Gotti. He says, I just feel like since COVID, I feel like they have put us inside and I feel like we never came out. Even though we're out, we're not out. The energy hasn't been the same. He's speaking about hip hop.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was even before that.
Right. You got to say prior to.
It was absolutely before.
There are people who need to be booed off the stage before 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that it just further goes, and it's not just about the stage. It's multiple things, in my opinion. But the stage just happens to be our theme today, I think.
Right.
But in general, the rappers, there's going to be a switch happening. A lot of people are going to be left behind is what's going to happen. And if you're not talented in what you do, this happens in every field. If you don't keep up with the standards, if you will, to some degree, you don't have any real skills. You know, like
what's her name?
Sexy Red and Tsukiyama.
Yeah.
Neither of them are talented. They're not talented. They might be decent entertainers at this point.
Right.
They might know how to drive clicks, but neither of them are talented.
I'm never going to be like, oh man, I can't wait to hear that Tsukiyama, whatever her name is, freestyle.
Suki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her whole thing is to be nasty in public places.
Yeah.
But when I say there's no talent, I mean, there's no significant talent beyond what anybody else can do. Like, I know a bazillion people that can get on stage and do exactly what she's doing, walk into a random recording booth and do exactly what she... There's no distinctive talent there.
And that goes into what he's saying, too, because if you think about back in the day, I literally just listened to an interview with Jermaine Dupri talking about artist development. He was saying, I wouldn't put an artist out until we found something that made them stand out for somebody else.
Right.
He was 16 years old thinking about this type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, let me go to the mall and see what people pay attention to. So that's kind of where the crisscross, wearing their pants backwards and all that stuff. The talent factor was already there, but they didn't have something that was going to make them stand out from everybody else. So nobody's going through artist development anymore.
There's none.
There's just, and TikTok is artist development,
and
essentially.
People can skip the artist development and get props for their personalities and the things that they are saying that has nothing to do with thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
Well said.
And the thing is, things like I said, when you said there's things that we should be, that at one point you said bringing shame and booing people off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
There's just things that I hear now in the culture to where somebody would tell an artist, do not say this in an interview.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, I'm not even going to bring up the
artist.
There's
no coaching.
I'm just tired of, you know, because it seems like I'm just hard, but like I keep thinking, okay, the bar can't get any lower. Then I'll be like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. That's how it was. We were over the weekend. I heard that new Sexy Red and Tsukiyama join. I was like, it's like hilarious.
I just feel like we're doomed.
It'd be one thing if I thought they were really just doing the, it, And maybe they, in their minds, are really doing comedy, and we just haven't picked up.
They're serious. The I don't think this is comedy.
People take what they say and this music very seriously.
A very fine it's line not, between parody anymore.
Now I don't even think you can parody this.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah,
you can't.
It's like parody, but it's real.
You can't go any further.
Exactly. You can't go any further. Because if you made a parody of it, it'd mess around and be a hit song.
Yeah. Lone played it for me. I think I said, is this a parody? I think I said that out loud.
Yeah, you said that out loud.
Be funny?
Yeah.
You'd have to go the opposite way. You'd have to make it serious in order to make that a parody.
I think once we've reached this point, I mean, I know it's new old heads, I guess, but it's like, I don't know how much farther you can go in this lane as far as it's just like the disrespect of the craft.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think what you're saying is just coming from the heart
and, you know, the way you're saying it, I can tell that this is your honest opinion. But in terms of being
like every other opinion.
Yeah. All the time. We keep it a buck. But the low bar, I don't know if there's another level left. Like we're talking about. I don't think there's another level left.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? I don't think you can go too much past.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I felt this way in the past, but I don't know. Now it just feels different.
It's really here, though. Now it's based off that, even though you've thought about that in the past, this is one of those records where it's a flashpoint where it's like, okay, it might be here. It might be the bottom. This might be the bottom.
We really can't go anywhere. It could only get worse if, like, all of a sudden now some girl's like, I got to take this to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm going to rhyme about
taking a dump.
I'm going to
smoking crack.
I'm going to rhyme about raw dog and knowing I got HIV.
Yeah, it's going to take something like that.
But that's really close to this.
It is close.
It's definitely adjacent. It's adjacent.
I don't know, man. It's capitalism, man.
Yeah, it's capitalism.
There it is.
We had to bring it right on back.
It really is. It's capitalism.
It's scary.
Least amount of effort.
No, we are doomed.
We get to the bag.
Oh, man.
We are doomed.
And hey, if they're making money off of it, I mean, good for them as individuals, but I still don't like it.
Man, yeah. I'm going to have my daughter listening to the nursery rhymes and Sesame Street music.
Y'all can be listening to Baby Shark till she's 13, 14 years old.
She can't listen to nothing.
Oh, man. I don't know, Ben.
Your daughter going to be up on all the adult contemporary songs.
Listen, who said? I'm going to be playing Kenny Lattimore for her.
That's way better than what I heard Saturday.
Your daughter's favorite song is going to be for you.
Yeah, straight up.
what you saying, Lone?
I was going to say, who said that'll win a Grammy on mute?
Fonte.
It was Fonte, right?
Yeah, it was Fonte, yeah.
Man, if that was relevant 15 years ago.
On mute. Yep. I don't know, man. I don't have the answers. This is not my.
We need to holler at Sway.
Please, he doesn't have the answers.
I think Sway might.
Sway might have the answers.
I think Sway. I mean,
Sway might be able to break this down.
Low-key, Sway had the answers then when he was talking to Kanye.
Tripping, yeah, he did.
I mean,
I don't know, fellas.
Actually, since we're bringing it back, Ebro has the answers.
Ebro.
Yeah.
Rappers better stop being boring and talking about the same stuff over and over, chasing TikTok success and comment sections, or else you will be left behind.
Listen.
I always tend to ask. It's not him being old.
It's not at all.
All y'all look the same.
Sometimes I tend to ask, if we're talking about younger artists, you'll usually hear me say, do you think this is going to impact them? Do you think they're going to listen? We've already said that on the show. But what I'm saying this one is just the epitome of they're not going to listen. This is a big one. Nobody's going to listen to this.
So the people that are listening to this aren't getting picked up and aren't getting the recognition because they don't follow the trend. You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately for them, they need the record label machine to help push them, but they also need the right A&R that is going to look at them.
Yeah.
And if they still have A&Rs that don't know how to find new talent or are still basing it off old criteria, they're still not going to find them.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's one of these things that, even though Ebro is saying all this and I absolutely agree with him, on the flip side of this, I still don't think that his rappers better stop being boring and talking about all this stuff. That's not the end all be all. That's not the end of it. Because at the end of the day, even if you do the stuff that he's saying, you're still not going to succeed.
Exactly.
So, you know, and then it gets down to a societal conversation, which we've had many times. And it just, it's whatever people are, you know, we've been harping on these artists, and especially I have as well. But at the end of the, at the end of the day, these people are looking at this as a way to come up in a system.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can't really be mad at people for trying to exploit a system that's exploiting them. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get it. From I want one all angle. Of
the, look, we have talked about Sexy Red. I want her to succeed in right. her own way. I want her to save her money.
Please.
Because when this wave is over with, and they have, and because that's the way hip hop is, and especially hip hop is run on capitalism.
True.
Once you have been burned out, they will toss you to the side like yesterday's trash.
Facts.
And, you know, I don't want you to look up and like, I spent all my money on Weave and Hellcats. And then all of a sudden you looking up and be like, well, now I got to go to get a job.
Listen,
because you have a chance to change
your family,
your immediate yeah. family. You can impact your immediate family. And maybe after that, if you smart, if you flip it right,
you know, if this is her time and this is her moment, you exploit the system that is here to exploit you, but save your money.
Save it. Now, I was going to say, I mean, think about even a little bit ahead of her, and this is a different example, but kind of the same. Is anybody talking about the Island Boys right now?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
They kind of are.
For the wrong reason.
But that's what I was going to lead to. But why are we talking about them? It's not about them being super ridiculous. It's about them being extremely ridiculous.
Yes.
Good point.
You know what I mean? It's like you can only go so far up this extremely ridiculous rabbit hole until you turn into, you know, Johnny Knoxville or something. You know what I mean? So
I don't think he's as ridiculous as some of this stuff that's going on because obviously these people have a price.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
They have a price 100%. And they will literally do anything for money.
For that price. Yeah. Facts.
Okay, well then I'll take it somewhere completely else.
Okay.
When Chamillionaire came out, Riding Dirty, huge hit, made a whole bunch of money, made him a superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next album he put out, I can't remember it was actually a good record, but he decided, you know what, I'm not going to curse on this entire album.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the powers that be is like, we really don't have much use for a rapper who doesn't curse.
Yeah.
But you know what? He looked to be get out of his deal, and like how he got out is a crazy story because he said he audited Universal and found about $600,000 that they didn't pay him.
Mm-hmm. Smart brother.
And they said, okay, well, you know, we still not letting you out. He's like, you know what? If you don't let me out of this deal, I'm going to tell every artist in this building that they need to have their deals audited too. And they're like, well, we let him go.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Why he jumped into that tech game.
Yeah, exactly. That's why when you see Chamillionaire, like, how is he sitting courtside at a Warriors game, and he hasn't had a hit song in 15 years.
Yep.
It's because when he was here and before the industry took everything from him and threw him out the door like yesterday's trash, like they do with everybody.
He had his receipts
and he went ahead and said, I'm gonna put my money somewhere else. So I don't have to rely on the broken capitalist system of the record companies out here. There because a lot of you, you know, the only look right now, it just seems like, you all are, there's a lot of people, and I've said this so many times, a lot of you are looking and excited about trading your dignity for attention.
Can't wait.
That's the epitome of the era that we
can't wait.
And so the thing is, if you put your money up, if you, look, take this short run that they're going to give you so they can exploit you, so they can burn you out and put you out the door, take that money and do something productive with it, and you don't even have to worry about this no more.
Nope.
Yeah.
And that's old head advice.
There you go.
I mean, just say it wasn't, but maybe 2 or 3 years ago, DaBaby was smiling like a MF on stage at the Grammys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won't even sell him a ticket now.
He actually got a hit song out right now.
With who?
Himself.
Oh, okay. I'm telling you.
That twerking song he got.
Oh, no, because he also, you know, he got one with Sexy Red.
Does he?
Yep.
See?
Like I said, Sexy Red got 4 records right now.
Mm.
She got 4 in rotation, huh?
She got 4 that could go off at any time.
That's nuts.
After 1 o'clock in the morning, where you have to, joints have to be for real.
Mm.
You're not working stuff out then. But like I said, I hope that young sister saves her money. That's my concern is I do have a concern of what she's putting out there to especially impressionable young minds. But I say this, like I said, I've said this about a whole bunch of male rappers, but the female rapper wave is cresting right now. So that's why I'm talking about that. But You know, my concern is that you don't take all the success and burn through it, and then be like, "Oh man, somebody see you working at Costco," and be like, "Man, Sexy Red, I thought you were dead."
Mm. My baby can't listen to Sexy Red.
No,
not even when she a teenager or a young adult, she can't listen to Sexy Red.
You got some time where you got full on control of what is played in the house.
Yeah.
Jay Moore, that was Sound of Revenge that went platinum in 05.
Yes, Sound of Revenge.
And an Ultimate Victory in 07.
Ultimate Victory is the one we had. He did like kind of a parody of the Bill O'Reilly Show. Kind of crazy. Like I said, that was actually a dope album.
Well, shout out to Chameleon Air for exposing labels and being smart and doing tech and keeping it bread.
Yeah. He doesn't have to make another record.
Not another one.
Not another one.
I actually seen him when I went to the Outkast 20-year concert.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He was there as a spectator. I literally walked right by him. I'm like, that's Chameleon Air right there. Hmm. Yep. He ain't thinking nothing about this music game right now.
As he should.
The more, every time we have conversations like this, the more it just takes me down the rabbit hole of how all of these answers that, like, Ebro has here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, and even like stuff that I talk about and we talk about, it's like, yeah, you can stop rapping over your vocals and all this other stuff, but it's really societal. There's no penalty for
rapping over your, like I said, yeah. I would boo you, but the majority of the people who like your music aren't going to boo you.
They're not going to be bothered.
And if they're not bothered, then the system upholds itself, and it's a cycle. Nobody will even say, man, that
I saw that dude rhyme over his own vocals. Nobody will be like, man, that was whack. They'll say we were turned up.
Yeah, it was a movie.
Exactly.
A Tubi movie.
Everything is about the bottom line.
That's why shaming is important.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So if these people don't feel cool anymore,
then maybe they'll
change their ways.
You know what? The people that should shame them don't want to shame them because they don't want to look
uncool
shaming someone when they actually could just shame them. And you can still be cool if you shame somebody, can't you?
Yeah.
Jay Moore, you can boost somebody.
People all the time. I'm cool.
Yeah. To really be cool, you would have to shame people.
Look, man, cool people don't go around like trying to be cool.
Nah.
It's not a thing.
It's natural.
It's not a thing.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I'm cool or not. I'm probably not cool. I don't really care.
That's the thing. When you don't care, that probably means, you know, because
it probably means you're cool when you don't worry. But like you said, you don't.
I don't think I'm very cool. Like, but, you know.
Am I cool today?
I don't know, man.
Today?
Are these shoes cool?
Man, it's like,
I'm cool. I'm hot. You're not. Mess with me and I'll give you one shot. Top that. Y'all don't remember that movie?
No.
What is that from? Is that Teen Witch?
Nah, it's not Teen Witch.
No,
it's a movie that used to come out on Saturdays. I remember that. This chick was rapping against this dude.
I think that might be Teen Witch.
Is it Teen Witch?
That, my sister loved that movie.
It might be Teen Witch.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Top that. You blew, but you will never top
that. Let's go back the other way.
Did y'all see Michael Bivens said that Chris Cross got the backwards look from them?
Yeah, and he was right.
When he was talking about math, him and JD were talking about the cover of the Poison album.
It is.
That just made me think about that when y'all said Chris Cross. Because Biv has a great interview with Math. He's always a good interview to me, Michael Bivens.
Yeah, he has his documentary comes out in a couple days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to watching that. He dropped some gems. Math actually had Kid and Play as well. Great interview with them. They told stories, even told stories what Terry was talking about with T-Roy, what actually happened that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, Michael Bivens.
Did you say T-Roy?
Trouble T-Roy.
Trouble T-Roy was the dancer that They Reminisce Over You is written after.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I didn't know that. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
I remember that day like it was yesterday. That's crazy.
And he said they were playing some type of game or something. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, just watch the interview.
But shout out to Math. Hmm. But yeah, Biv was so Biv. He said it turned into a joke, but it started out being, you know, it jacked his style. But I put it together. I'm like, yeah, BBD definitely had the cover
on ABC. That album.
Well, honestly, the genius that Jermaine Dupri was, all of his groups were taking bits and pieces from other groups.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? TLC started out as his group.
Yep.
But he was more focused on Criss Cross's success. That he let them sign to LaFace, and he still kind of did his thing from afar and still got some money. But we already know what they did to TLC anyway.
Right.
But he was taking bits and pieces from other groups, but he was still developing these artists.
That's the difference.
To make them performers and make them stand out from everybody else. So, I mean, I give him peace for that.
Even speaking of, I know we got ready to go, but speaking of JD, did you guys see his tweet where he said, just for the record, no brands have done any dinners or get-togethers in Atlanta celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip-hop? That's crazy. Nope. Now, think about the hub that Atlanta has become.
What do you mean brands? Like,
well, you know how people throw parties to celebrate, sponsored by, you know, joints like that, because they've been in New York. Like, celebrations have been everywhere, but nothing has come through Atlanta. Now, considering what Atlanta has become, I think it's
capital. I thought they owned all the restaurants and stuff in Atlanta.
I mean, does Atlanta,
the rappers.
Does Atlanta even need sponsorship from anybody else?
I don't know, but JD, from what I'm reading on this tweet, he feels like somebody should have at least pulled up and done a celebration in the city, because
Atlanta was doing its own celebrations.
Right.
Well, maybe they were. Maybe.
I mean, y'all have enough manpower to put something together in Atlanta. It can be just Atlanta artists.
There are some cities that might have to do a little complaining. If you got Atlanta, I'm sorry, dog. Nah.
You're JD. You can make your own.
You are JD. You have Mariah Carey money. You have Janet Jackson money. You have Crisscross money.
That's like one of those. I don't, you know, like, it's one thing if you're like a underground Atlanta artist and you're saying that.
You
but
are JD.
You're talking about coming from
you
him.
You're responsible for some of the greatest albums in music history, not just hip hop.
It's actually his responsibility to do this.
It's on him.
Yeah, it's on him.
Hmm.
You mad that?
But you know what?
Starter didn't come down and
come on.
I don't know what he
do that.
Turner Network or something. I don't know.
I don't know who he's looking to sponsor or who he's mad they're not.
Tell the Braves had a Outkast bobblehead night that celebrates 50 years of hip hop.
Yeah,
no brands have done any dinners or get-togethers in Atlanta celebrating.
I think that definitely falls on you, JD.
Dinner? If it should be the Jermaine Dupri Governor's Dinner, or
something. So deaf, this, that, or third. You know.
But is that his Atlanta ego coming out because he knows what Atlanta means?
Yeah, he knows what Atlanta means. But if
should people just deflect and be like, "Yo, we have to come to Atlanta based off who they are."
He's one of the shot callers. Could have called whatever brands he's looking for. There are people who would get online and happy to
couldn't wait to get there.
Yeah, but what if people would come from out of state to come to an Atlanta hip hop celebration?
Come on, man.
What if I told
Mercedes Benz? Are you kidding me? That was a missed opportunity for you, Jermaine.
For you.
What if I told y'all coming up on the 50th anniversary for hip hop? Mm-hmm. I knew that there was going to be a celebration in New York. We all knew that something was going to pop off in New York.
People made their way to New York.
And you know what I'm saying, LL Cool J made it happen.
Yes.
The same way Jermaine Dupri needs to make it happen.
There we go.
If he wants a celebration, you better get to it.
Because I'm thinking he's sitting back like they going to come to Atlanta off GP just because of who we are.
No.
And nobody
spearhead that, man.
Yeah. And he's got to your point, he got the juice. We all know that.
He is in position. A lot of people in Atlanta are in position to make that happen.
True.
Yeah, it's not just JD.
Not just JD.
Somebody like JD.
Yeah, he definitely. Yeah.
It's literally a mecca.
And they could have their own, and it would be cold. That's true.
People would come.
Yeah,
from far and near. If one of the people from the ghetto mafia said they should have came down here and done something, there's no diss to ghetto mafia.
I see where you're going, though.
They don't have the juice that Jermaine Dupri has had in the track record to where he could get on the phone and say, you know. And he could probably call somebody and be like, you know, Hennessy needs a sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, the Atlanta leg of the 50th or Crown Royal or one of these major brands, you know, clothing brands, somebody.
Yeah.
You could get Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is huge in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, you could get any of these companies to get involved and they'd be happy to do it.
JD, you a legend.
Sorry, man. I don't.
Yeah.
JD, you a legend, brother.
You sound like you white boy online.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
You a legend, brother. You could pull those strings, man. It'd make me want to hop in the car if they was to do that, because that could be crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, no, whatever, JD.
All right, man. Y'all ain't going. Y'all ain't going.
We praised him and shut him down.
Yeah. We really did.
That's how it goes.
Well, I got to be honest on this show. That's what we do.
We should rebrand. The Honest Hip Hop Podcast.
All right, man. Is there anything else I forgot? Anything you gentlemen want to add before we ride out?
Shout out to Kid Rock. You know, he's back drinking Bud Light.
Yeah.
And so
real fit a few months ago.
Yeah. But, so for all those Bud Light cans he's back to drinking them.
Yeah.
Once again, Kid Rock is
he your
fraud.
Savior?
He's a fraud. He'll do whatever when the cameras are running, and he goes back to being a Bud Light drinking,
shaking his ass,
rich kid. You know, when the cameras aren't on him.
Yeah. He didn't mean none of that.
Yeah.
Were any of you guys shocked about that? Perhaps
no.
No.
He has solidified his standing as being a fraud.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Consistently being a fraud. Yes. He's consistently been a fraud.
The fact that we can put the clips that old clips, stuff we've been talking about for 2 years, and put them back up in the
studio. I just recycle them.
I know.
Yeah. I just recycle them. People don't even know what we're talking about.
It's the same time at one point when Kanye was acting up, and every time I'd be like, Kanye West has always been kind of a terrible person. Yeah. At one point, it was just evergreen content. And putting up the stuff we said about Kid Rock, that's evergreen content as well.
Hey, Kid Rock, thanks for being consistently trash, brother. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Malibu is most wanted.
All right, man. That's going to do it for this episode. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share. We appreciate the support, as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Peace out.